Welcome back into another edition of Tide Talk Live. Stacy Blackwood, joined as always by my good buddy Jake Thomas. Jake, what's happening, brother? How you doing?
Man, I'm doing great. Been a great weekend. It's been a hot weekend. It's right in the dog days of summer here in Alabama. But other than that, I'm doing great, man. How you doing?
We're doing great. Doing great, man. What a busy – we're recording this on Sunday afternoon around 3:30 p.m. So there's already been some big recruiting news. There's probably going to be more coming here in just a short time. But we're going to dive into that in just a minute. But, you know, first, you guys know the drill. We want to hear from you. Jump in the comment section. Let us know what your thoughts on the show. Any of the discussion that we have today, we would love to have your thoughts and opinions on that there in the comment section. Make sure you like, share, and subscribe. We're also free and available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, wherever you find podcasts, you can find us there as well. So we would greatly appreciate you subscribing there, leaving us reviews, giving us a thumbs up, just however you can support us, we would greatly appreciate that. Jake, Sunday has been a busy day for Alabama fans, especially in the recruiting world. A couple of commitments, one for the class of 2024 and another for the class of 2026, believe it or not. Wow. So just a big day. And then, of course, Zabian Brown, the four-star corner from Modern Day High School, is going to be making his commitment here in just a short time. We're expecting him to pick Alabama. Would it be a great pickup for Alabama? We'll actually start with him, Jake. You know, the four-star corner, Alabama's already got two corners committed in this class so far, and Jameer Grimsley and of course the five-star Jalen Mbakwe from Alabama. And what I like about potentially of these three players being in this class together is they're a little bit different. You know, Jalen Mbakwe is listed as an athlete by the recruiting services, a five-star talent, Jake, that is just – that's what he is. He is a phenomenal athlete. And then you look at Grimsley, the guy who committed, I think, last week or week before last. He is a guy who's more of a cover safety type player, real long, you know, 6'2", 6'3", 190 pounds. So a guy who's going to be a bigger player, maybe could play the nickel corner role. And then you look at Zabian Brown, a guy who – I'm not saying he's going to be at the level of a Patrick Surtain, but he has that technician type approach to his game, Jake, where he just does all the little things the right way. It puts him in a position to be, you know, in the right place at the right time, just a really good cover corner and a guy who plays at a phenomenal high school out in Modern Day in California. Mm-hmm. You know, of course, Bryce Young played there. And I think in the class of 2024 alone, they have four of the top players in the state of California on their team. So he plays with a lot of competition, a high-level competition in high school. And if he does, in fact, choose the Crimson Tide, the competition will not be something new to him. So I really hope he picks Alabama because he's a great football player and would fit in well with what Coach Saban wants to do in the back end of that defense.
Yeah, absolutely. Before I get too big into it, you know, Alabama's kind of lived in the backyard of California the last several years, and that's kind of surprising with USC being out there and all that. But these three guys, you got to think about, we're going to have somebody in the next couple of years step up at corner, because after this year, Kool-Aid is going to be probably a top draft pick. I think they've already got him listed as the number one corner coming, you know, into the draft. So who's going to be the next guy step up, and having these guys coming in give us a lot more depth. So I'm excited about it.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, Terrion Arnold, I mean, sure. I wouldn't expect him to go to the draft, but Jack, he will be draft eligible. And if he has a big time year, mm-hmm. you know, he could be a guy who jumps into the draft next year. So you always have to be ready for those types of decisions. Of course, the transfer portal is always an option as well. So you never know who's leaving or staying. So you got to be ready, and you got to sign guys to build depth on your team. And if Alabama can pull off Zabian Brown, and you've got Brown, Grimsley, and Jalen Mbakwe, that is a great trio of defensive backs to build in the class of 2024. So I think those guys would be a great welcome addition to Tuscaloosa. Then Alabama gets a commitment today from a linebacker from Germany, Jake. Nice. I'm not going to try to say his last name. His first name is Justin, and his last name starts with OK. So we're just going to call him Justin OK. And, yeah. But he's a really talented player, Jake. You know, had a great camp with Alabama last month in June. Ran with a sub 4.5 40 there in Tuscaloosa. You know, 6'3", 225. a phenomenal athlete. I told you, Jake, in pre-recording that I truly believe that if he was playing in the States, he would be a high four-star recruit. So don't let the rankings fool you on this one. This dude is an athlete. He is a player. And it may take him a year or two to acclimate to the college game. But once this guy figures it out, he is going to be a stud for Alabama.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited about him. You think 4'4", you know, 4'4", 9 at that size, I mean, getting downhill and smacking you, gosh, it's, you know, he's going to hear it. It's going to be like on the Richter scale. It's going to be like thunder when he gets a hold of it. But I agree. He's it's probably going to take a year or two to get acclimated, like you said. But once he does, I think he's going to have a very, very successful career at Alabama. So he's one to definitely keep your eye on.
Yeah, he's a guy that you know, the commitment kind of come out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. Alabama felt good about their position with him following his visit last month and in camp, and after he received that offer, after really just flashing his ability in front of the coaching staff. I mean, apparently he was just all over the field in their 7-on-7 stuff. So, but the commitment kind of come out of nowhere for Alabama. Give Coach Saban, Robert Bala, the first year linebackers coach, a lot of credit for what they've done with him and being able to impress him in such a short amount of time that he felt comfortable enough to pull the trigger and make that commitment to Alabama. So big time pickup. What a player, what an athlete. Just adding to this class of 2024 that you know, beginning of the month of July, it looked slim, but that's nothing that fans should worry about. And I think by the time the month of July ends and as we enter August, the first couple of weeks of August, this class is going to continue to build and grow, and there won't be but a handful of spots left for the remaining months leading up to signing day once this month wraps up and we get on into August. So don't fret, Alabama fans. This class is going to be just fine. Nick Saban knows exactly what he is doing. So be confident in him. Have faith in him. He's pulled it off for, you know, the last couple decades almost. So mm-hmm. Just put your faith in him and you'll be all right. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah, absolutely. It was funny, you know, you saw a lot of stuff on Twitter, you know, past three weeks. You know, Alabama's only got 8 commitments, and I was sitting here thinking, we've got 8 at this point. I'm, you know, color me shocked. That's probably the most we've had it at this yeah. stage since Saban's been there, because it seems like July and August, it gets ramped up really well. And then, you know, like you said, Stacey, all of our slots, maybe 4 to 6, are already taken. Then there's going to be the handfuls that come in at signing day or 2 or 3 days before signing day. So, yeah, don't fret just yet, because this is Saban norm, honestly.
Yeah, well, and recruiting is so fluid, and these guys have changed so much. You know, a lot of them wanted to wait till signing day, especially right. when it was in February, to make a commitment. Now, especially the high-end talent players, they want to make their commitments and wrap up their recruiting before their senior season starts so they can mm-hmm. focus on that final year of high school football. So things change. These guys take all the visits they can leading up to the start of their senior season in the dead period. So they get it wrapped up fairly quickly, and then they start making their commitments. And so just the next few weeks is going to be a whirlwind of commitments for Alabama, and it's going to be a lot of fun to kind of keep up with. It's going to be hectic, but it'll yeah. be a lot of fun to keep up with. And then, Jake, the second commitment of the day come from a class of 2026 prospect, an interior offensive lineman from Georgia, Jake. I think you pronounce his first name Zeke, but it's Zeke Helton. Like I said, an interior offensive lineman. He plays center for Carrollton, Georgia out there. So just another Georgia prospect coming to the Crimson Tide. I know this guy is a couple years away, so nothing's written in stone, but you got to feel good getting a commitment from a state of Georgia prospect this early on in the process, considering they're the 2-time defending national champions, mm-hmm. and he does have interest from the Georgia Bulldogs.
Yeah, that was a big pickup in my mind, just getting from Kirby's backyard. You know, Saban, even since Kirby's been there, has been able to pull some very, very good talent out of Georgia still. And, you know, we got a guy that's going – or two, really, this on this year's team that probably going to show out their first year that come from Georgia and that area. So, you know, getting an interior lineman is really going to help, because get him acclimated, because, you know, if he's going to play center for us, potentially, you know, Seth is probably going to be gone. I think he's a junior this year, might be a senior, but I don't know. If he has a good year, he may be draft eligible, or he will be draft eligible if he may get drafted. But I see him staying for his senior year as well. So that'll help build some of these younger talent that we have offensive line to have a leadership guy like Seth stay for his senior year.
Well, Helton's commitment is big for a couple of reasons. Obviously, you always like to take interior offensive lineman. That, I mean, this dude's entering if he's class of 26, he's entering his sophomore season. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and he's already 6'2", 305. So, I mean, he looks like he's 30 years old already. And so it's always good to get those type of players. But, you know, he's a high school teammate of Caleb Odom, a tight end who's going to be committing here in a couple weeks. Alabama feels good about their position with him. But then also a classmate of his is one of the most highly regarded quarterbacks in Julian Lewis in the class of 2026. And you can only think this helps Alabama's hopes of landing a commitment from Lewis, who Alabama and everybody else in the country is hot and heavy for in the class of 2026. So long way to go until then, but you got to think this really helps Alabama's chances and maybe landing Julian Lewis as well.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And I want to feed off of what you said earlier, Stacey, about, you know, these kids kind of commit early nowadays to help that, you know, recruiting period, because you see them all the time now. Since it's now legal with NIL and all that, they can get out there and try to put a word in to other players, say, hey, you know, follow me to Bama, or hey, follow me to so-and-so. So that aspect of recruiting, I really like, you know, I really like. But yeah, so I'm excited. We'll see how it goes with Lewis.
Yeah, you brought up a great point. It does seem like these recruits nowadays are more willing to kind of help the coaching staff recruit other players once they've committed to another school. And it's right. Not just at Alabama, it's across the country. Mm-hmm. And I think these guys, I think social media has helped that part out as well. Yeah. So, like I said, recruiting is fluid, it's ever-changing. The generations are always different of players. So it's just so interesting to keep up recruiting because of the way that these young athletes interact with each other and how they kind of help the coaching staff, you know, recruit these players they're wanting to make future teammates of. So recruiting is just one of those things that you either love it or hate it. Yeah. I love keeping up with it because it's so much fun to kind of see that next wave of talent.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a lot of talent coming in at Alabama. You know, Saban, that's one thing you can never say or you can't say yet about him, about he's losing his mind. He's not. He's still sharp as an ass, and he's getting out there and getting those players.
No doubt. Well, that's going to wrap up our recruiting portion of the show. We're going to move on to our next segment, Jake. It's a little bit different than what we kind of usually talk about on our show, but we want to squeeze a few more minutes in on this episode. And Jake, I want to talk to you about some of the things that Alabama needs to get right in 2023. Look, the conversation this whole offseason has been about the quarterback competition, Jalen Milroe, Ty Simpson, Tyler Buckner, whoever it is, that has been the most talked about topic this offseason. So outside of the quarterback position, Jake, and because that's such an obvious one, what are you looking at for Alabama to do maybe better than what they've done the last couple of seasons, or maybe do differently than what they've done as of late to maybe help them improve in 2023?
Well, one thing that I believe that is going to be different than past teams is we're going to have an outstanding running presence. You know, we had playmakers, but you know, we still threw the ball a good bit. With the uncertainty at quarterback right now, you have guys that's behind the quarterback that can make plays. Jace McClellan is going to make plays. He can make plays. Justice Haynes, we talked about him earlier, coming from the state of Georgia. He's a true freshman. I don't know how you're going to keep him off the field at all once he gets started. I mean, he is a absolute stud. And then you got Richard Young, guys like that still coming in and behind him as well. So there's playmakers there to help the quarterback until we get the right one in. Just hand the ball off and let them guys go, because they're going to get yardage. We've seen what Jace McClellan did against Texas when he can pull off a run. I think he's also had an 80-yard run against Arkansas previous years too. So that kid is electric. Other thing is, I feel like since we're going to be running the ball a lot more, we got to be more nasty in the trenches on that offensive line. And I just feel like the nastiness is coming back with that offensive line. Cole Kublik just put an article out or said a few words the other day about Tyler Booker and how he could be like – he's showing that nastiness of past Alabama teams. And we talked about, Stacey, how we're high on him because he has shown that nastiness. I mean, he just worked his way up from the bottom of the depth chart, and he started, you know, last year, eventually took a spot away. So I feel like the nastiness is coming back with J.C. Latham and Tyler Booker leading the charge at offensive line.
Yeah, you brought up two great – I think those are two of maybe the most critical position groups on the team this year, Jake, is the offensive line and the running backs. Mm-hmm. We feel good about the talent in the backfield, Jake. I think those guys, if given the opportunity to make plays, will make the plays. Mm-hmm. So really it comes down to the offensive line, Jake. J.C. Latham, Tyler Booker, Seth McLaughlin, Darren Dalcourt. This spring, when given the chance to speak to the media, they all talked about kind of rebranding the Alabama offensive line to the days of old. And they want to be a physical team. They want to dominate their opponent. They want their opponent to line up and say, man, I don't want to do this for four quarters.
I know it. Yeah.
So, and look, talk is one thing. You know, your actions speak louder than your words. It's time for them to show up on Saturdays between those white lines and make it happen. So right. If the offensive line gets it right this year, but what I mean by gets it right, it's be nasty, like you say, be dominating, be relentless in their effort, finish blocks. Just do all the dirty little things that an offensive line has to do to open up holes in the running game, to create opportunities in the play action passing game. So I'm with you, Jake. The offensive line is one of the most critical position groups on this team this year. I think the talent is there. I think the players are there. I think the mentality is there. And right. I think the coaching's there. I think Coach Eric Wolford is one of the most underrated position coaches in the country. So I really think the offensive line is going to play a critical role in how this team looks and feels, really. You get a feeling about a team. Does this team feel dominating? I haven't felt that way about an Alabama team in a couple years. Mm-hmm. I have that feeling coming back now, and most of that is because I like guys like Tyler Booker and J.C. Latham leading the charge on the offensive line and helping rebuild and rebrand that unit up front to be a dominating force in the trenches.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And you talk about the feel. I got that feeling from A-Day because of how dominating the defense was, that first string defense, how dominating it was and how it's putting pressure, constant pressure, you know, something we hadn't seen in a while on quarterbacks. And I mean, you know, you say one thing about it, it's just a spring game. But you think about it, those guys, I mean, they're four and five stars at the second and third level at Alabama. So, you know, they may not have a lot of experience, but they're good players. So it's not like you're playing against two and three star guys. I mean, you're still playing against top tier talent that's second and third string at Alabama. So them having that dominating presence in the A-Day, it just made me feel a lot better about how the team could be this year.
Yeah, just in general, the team as a whole, excuse me, how physical they looked.
Right.
It just looked different than what we'd seen over the last couple of seasons. So I'm really excited about that part of it. Now, I want to go to the defensive side of the ball. And I think there's something at each level that needs to get right for the season to be successful. And what I mean by successful, Jake, is an appearance in the college football playoff.
Right.
That's the expectation at Alabama. Mm-hmm. Realistic or not, that's what needs to happen.
Yeah.
You're Nick Saban, you're Alabama, you've built that brand, you've built that expectation level, so you have to deliver that or it doesn't feel like a success. So in order for Alabama to return to the college football playoff, Jake, I think there's something at all three levels that need to happen on the defensive side of the football. On the defensive line, I think we need to find that dude. And what I mean by that, we talked about, I think, in our last episode, we need to find a playmaker on the defensive line. I'm not saying we need a Quinn and Williams top playmaker, but a Christian Barmore top playmaker would be good enough. It would suffice. And then on at the second level, Jake, we need to get right at inside linebacker. Mm-hmm. And what I mean is we need to pick the right guys to play at the right times to play. Because I really believe that there's four players inside linebacker that need to get first team reps this fall. Mm-hmm. Trez Marshall, Jihad Campbell, Deontay Lawson, and Justin Jefferson. We need to find a way to get all four of those guys involved with the first team defense because they're all four really good at different things that can help and benefit the team. Mm-hmm. And then on the back end, Jake, we need to get the right guys in the right spots. Mm-hmm. We're confident in Kool-Aid McKinstry. Right. He's an elite lockdown corner. Crazy or not, we're confident in Caleb Downs. The dude is a generational top talent at safety.
Yeah.
But how do you manage Malachi Moore? How do you manage Earl Little? How do you manage the two transfers in Jalen Key and Trey Amos? What happens with Christian Story? What do you do with Terrion Arnold? So mismatching and line up those players in different spots and how you kind of put everybody into their place is going to be critical for how this team is successful on defense.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I agree. We got to find the dude on defensive line. That was my biggest thing as well. Inside linebacker is critical, I think, this year. And we talked about that as well in the last episode, how, you know, Henry Toa was great, but, you know, I feel like this next group, we already know what Deontay Lawson can do, so he's going to be great. And Justin Jefferson, I mean, he just showed out in A-Day. So he's uber talented. And then Campbell and Trez Marshall that come in, you know, like you said, you got to get those guys, on the field, in some capacity throughout the game. And on the backside, one thing I also want to add, in the defensive back, in the secondary, we need to go back to, you know, the Alabama teams that was creating turnovers, getting interceptions, and you know, breeding, you know, what was his old saying, you know, all offense or, you know, offensive touchdowns or defensive touchdowns, you know.
Not offensive touchdowns.
Yeah, not offensive touchdowns. We need to get back to that type of level in the secondary because it just seemed like there hasn't been as many interceptions in the previous last couple of years teams. So we need to get back to that on defense, on the defense side of the ball as well.
Yeah, those not offensive touchdowns, Jake, they're game changers. I mean,
yeah, they are.
Well, anytime you can put points on the board when you don't have the football, that probably increases your chances of winning by, you know, 10 to 20% every time you do it. And there was games, you know, back in, a few years back when it happened a couple times a game. So
I know it. Yeah.
You're right. That is going to be critical to the team's success. Mm-hmm. I feel confident in the playmakers in the back end because I think there's some playmakers back there.
Yeah.
Well, I really believe that. I think Malachi, I think Caleb, I think Earl Little, I think Kool-Aid, I think those guys are playmakers. They don't just make a tackle. They don't just break up a pass. They intercept the ball. And then when they intercept it, they have a chance to take it to the house. So I think that's going to be critical as well. I really like that. Those non-offensive touchdowns are game changers. Mm-hmm. They bail out an offense that maybe doesn't have elite quarterback play. So that could help the team. So that's a great point. And I want to add one more thing. Mm-hmm. Over the last couple of years, Jake, the penalties have been an Achilles heel for this team. A lot of pre-snap penalties, a lot of just miscues, just really – things that were not traditionally done under Nick Saban-led teams.
Mental.
And those things need to be cleaned up. And if they're cleaned up, that's just going to make this team that much more dangerous.
Yeah, you know, I remember vividly the Texas game. We was in a dogfight there because I think we had like 20 penalties, you know.
I mean,
it may have been more than that. It was just mental mistakes. And, you know – The mental is just I know it's just odd and a you know Saban led team at Alabama to have all those mistakes. So hopefully they can get that cleaned up with this team as well.
Yeah, that I think and when you have a lot of penalties, Jake, it takes away your edge.
Right.
You know, and especially on the road, Jake. I don't know how in the world they won that Texas game with nearly 200 yards of penalties. I don't know how they done it. I know how they done it. They had Bryce Young. Right. I mean, that's how they done it. But but you don't have that this year, Jake. You don't have the number one pick in the NFL draft on your team this year.
Right.
At quarterback. So you have to be good at everything else if you want to compete for national championship. So those are just a few things that we wanted to kind of discuss about what we hope this team can look like here in 2023. There's a lot of exciting things coming up. SEC Media Days is a week away, so a lot to look forward to there. Cannot wait for that to happen. Like we said, commitments are going to be happening really around the clock over the next month. Yeah. So make sure you keep, you know, that's why you need to hit that bell notification on YouTube so you don't miss any of the episodes here on Tide Talk Live, because we'll be discussing all those here on our show. Make sure you like, share, and subscribe. Thank you so much for watching. We'll be back real soon talking something out on football. I don't know. We'll figure something out. If nothing, if no news breaks, we'll break our own news here on the show.
That's right. Yeah. We're here throughout the summer. You know, we still got a month and a half to get through. You know, fall camp gets here. We'll be a lot more interesting stuff to talk about, but we'll still make it interesting here for sure.
No doubt about it. But that's going to wrap it up. Thank you guys so much for watching. Make sure you like, share, and subscribe today. Jump in the comments and let us know your thoughts on today's show. Give us a thumbs up, and we will see you soon. Until next time, Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.